Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Steve Paisley Jordahl is with us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Have I woken up from my nightmare yet?
What's that, Steve?
I'm living in a world that has gone completely mad. Not a particular story I'm thinking about 10 of them today.
You know, we mentioned when I saw you in the hallway, you were coming in. I was walking out during the break. The number of stories that we deal with,
yeah,
and we can't even get to two-thirds of the stories we discuss.
They're important stories.
They're important stories. I remember when I was on AFA Today, I can't remember the name of it, with Tim, with your dad, Brother Don.
AFA Report.
AFA Report. Thank you, Brent Creeley, our producer. AFA Report.
Dad always had these magical names for his show.
Magical. AFA Report.
AFA Report. Everything was the report.
Yeah, report. We would put out Dad, like white papers.
Come on, Dad. Come up with something.
Humanism, a report.
A report. Who wants to read that? You got to jazz it up.
When I first was on the show with Brother Don, it was 25 minutes. Then we did make it an hour. It was so difficult to get stories. We would have two or three, maybe four stories that we would try to cover. And Brother Don would come to my office sometimes trying to hunt these stories down 15 minutes before the show and said, hey, we'll talk about this, because we just couldn't find enough stories to discuss. Now we're inundated. It's like trying to drink out of a fire hose.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so Steve,
yes,
get us started.
Bring them to us, Steve.
All right. This is something we didn't – I just found this just for what it's worth. We still have a squad in Washington, D.C., and they still are very anti-American and anti-Israel. Rashida Tlaib just put a tweet out, and her tweet says, United States – and oh, she's responding to Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy put this tweet out. The United States and Israel share a special relationship. We're the only two countries in history that were conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that we are all equal. To which Rashida Tlaib said, Speaker McCarthy wants to rewrite history, but the apartheid state of Israel was born out of violence and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Well, I got to tell you, I'm kind of digging the new Twitter with Elon Musk, because immediately there was a fact check at the bottom of this, which said, Israel was born out of a UN General Assembly Resolution 181, and then, quote, ethnic cleansing affected both Arabs and Jews, caught up in the war initiated by five Arab nations who oppose the existence of Israel. And Israel has 21.1 Arab citizens with full and equal rights. Yeah, so they're Twitter's punching back a little bit.
Well, now, I can't stand Rashida Tlaib's views. She's the Michigan Democrat congresswoman. I am it's staunchly opposed to probably 99% of what she believes and wants to do. She is the parents of Palestinian. She is the daughter of Palestinian parents. I can certainly understand the fact that she sees things from that perspective.
Right.
But I disagree with it. And this is part of I don't want to go back to what we talked about in the segment prior to our break, although it was awesome having Abraham Hamilton III on.
He's good.
But this
isn't
he? He's awesome. But this is part of a spiritual war, and Israel is included in that spiritual war. So her comments increasingly are being accepted, especially on college and university campuses. And I vehemently disagree with her. But to your point, good on Twitter. for at least bringing some context to her very one-sided views.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a lot of things about Twitter these days that are kind of fun to watch. All right. Hey, let's talk about the campaign coming up, and specifically about debates, because Ronna McDaniel of the Republican National Committee secretly got together with the head of all the networks and wanted to pose a question: would you support debates if we unhook them from the Commission on Presidential Debates, which has been sponsoring these events since 1988? And the problem that they're having with the Commission on Presidential Debates, they don't really like the people who narrate or who ask questions, who host the debates,
moderate.
They tend to be liberal. And they don't. Republicans don't think they're getting a fair shake at a lot of these, so they want to unhook. And President Trump has also indicated that he's not in favor of those kind of debates. So I think Ronna McDaniel may be trying to find a little way to include him in. But she is wanting to know if the other networks would agree to debate. She's talking about as many as 10 primary debates that don't involve the Commission on Presidential Debates, hoping they can draw Donald Trump in and have a debate between at least Trump and DeSantis when DeSantis announces.
Yeah, you got to have President Trump in these debates. He is a major.
Debate? You're talking about the Republican debate?
The Republican primary debates.
Well, he's threatening not to participate.
Well, I know, but Ronna McDaniel's trying to get him in. What I'm saying is, if you're going to have debates, you want him in. He's going to be a major player in the primary campaigns. He's the former president. He's very influential still in the GOP. You want to include him. I personally think it would damage his run for the nomination if he does not debate. I think increasingly people like Vivek Ramaswamy.
Mm-hmm. You just wanted to say his name.
I do like it. Yeah. I do like saying Ramaswamy. Yeah. I've said that on the air.
Okay, go ahead.
And then also
I had some Ramaswamy for dinner last night.
It's
a go-to.
Hey, that joke's going to work two more times, and then we're going to have to quit it.
I'm glad I got one of them.
Ed uses it, too.
Anyway, what I was going to say is you're going to have all the candidates. If Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, who does have a exploratory committee launched for his to try to figure out if he's got a way to the nomination, you want those people on the debate stage altogether.
Let me ask you this. Take away the personalities and the, displeasure with how the debates have been. Donald Trump, according to the latest polls, has a 36-point lead.
Don't believe it at all.
If you had a 36-point lead, if it were true, would you debate?
36-point lead where?
Well, it's the latest. I've seen two polls the last 2 days, one's 34, one's 36. And they're legitimate polls. I'll look up who they were.
Listen, let Governor DeSantis announce in May or June he's running for president. Let him start campaigning, traveling the country, getting his message out. Then come see me about the polls. Okay? It may be that he's a total flop and Trump trounces him by 36 points. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm saying it is way too early, even for President Trump, to say, I'm not participating in debates because I got this thing wrapped up. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because you know what? Not one vote has been cast yet in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, or these other states, Super Tuesday. Ted Cruz won Iowa. All right? And then Trump won, I think, New Hampshire and South Carolina. He was off to the races.
Pat Robertson won Iowa back in 1988, I think.
Yeah, I think, Pat Buchanan, and Pat Buchanan won it. Anyway, I'm just saying, with all due respect to the former president, you sound very arrogant by threatening not to participate in a Republican debate against your challengers. Now, people say, well, Trump's bluffing on this. Well, maybe he is. Now, I do think, practically speaking, that there are times when a political candidate does not need to do a debate. I don't agree. I mean, I agree with that. For example, I don't think Biden should be debating Robert Kennedy. It's tradition in American politics for an incumbent or sitting president of a party not to engage in debates with challengers, because the party itself, the Democrat Party in this case, they're protecting the guy they know is ultimately going to win from having to deal with a pesky opponent.
Yeah, right. That has no chance.
That has no chance to beat him, okay, or a tiny chance.
There's no upside.
To beat him. So if President Trump was the incumbent.
Mm-hmm. He thinks he is, but.
Okay, well, he's not.
He's acting like it, but yes.
If he was the incumbent, then I would say that President Trump should not participate in debates against challengers. Some would say, well, that's undemocratic. I'm just saying strategically, an incumbent president gains nothing by debating somebody within his own party. You understand? But because President Trump has been out of office now for whatever it is, 2.5 years, it's a different place, 2016 than 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking towards 2024 in the November presidential election. So my thing would be President Trump needs to reengage and recampaign and go out there and get his message out. And if Republican voters say, yeah, he's my man, then he'll win. Okay. To make a threat that I'm going to duck the voters in a debate situation that all the other candidates have agreed to is not a wise move on the part of the former vice president. Do you think he's bluffing here, or you think he'll take a wait and see attitude? How about Trump?
Yeah, I think
because the debate is in August. The first,
right? I think the former president wants to have a say on what happens. I don't see him ducking the debate.
You mean you think he's probably bluffing right now?
Well, or maybe he's saying, listen, if you want me to participate, I want to have a word. I want to have influence in what we do in the debate, so on and so forth. I think ultimately he will, because you cannot ignore a candidate like Ron DeSantis. The others are going to be probably minor players, but you can't ignore someone with that kind of popularity, even if you're 30 points up. And I do agree. I think that gap is going to close pretty rapidly. Once people begin to find out who DeSantis is, they hear him on shows as he is announced to these run. They're going to hear him speak. That gap is going to close. You cannot ignore that fight, and debates are a part of that battle. So yeah, I think he will. I think he will debate.
Right. Do you think that he, President Trump, will? What Ronald McDonald has said.
McDaniel.
Ronald McDaniel.
No, it's Ronald McDonald. I changed your name. I went full Biden right there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Huh?
Or you went full Trump. That could be the name.
Maybe I'll give her that name.
Ronald McDonald. Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDaniel, who is the chairman of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Right?
And she's a good personal friend with Trump. And so I don't understand, quite frankly, unless Trump's just doing a game here about potentially not debating. What she has said is, if you are a Republican candidate for president and you're going to participate in the debates we're setting up, you must commit now or before the debates to supporting whoever the eventual nominee is, right?
Right.
So I don't know if Governor DeSantis has spoke to that yet. Of course, he hasn't announced yet.
Right.
Everybody knows he's going to announce.
Right.
Right. So I guess if you say you're going to participate in the Republican debate, you're going to have to commit, according to her, to supporting who the nominee is ultimately. I tell you why I agree with that. Is if you're a candidate and you're going to use the apparatus, if you want to use that word, of a major political party to advance your campaign,
right,
then you need to show some loyalty to that party. All right? I think that's only fair, because what Ronna McDaniel, there I go again, what Ronna McDaniel is saying is, we, the party, will put our full support, money, time, energy, foot soldiers, everything, behind whoever the Republicans select to be their nominee for president. But she's saying, but I need from you guys and lady, talking about Nikki Haley, a commitment that once this bloodbath is over, that you guys are getting ready to engage in, that is when they all attack each other. Right now they're just attacking DeSantis, right, basically. When this is all over, that you will be friends again, or at least act like you are.
Yeah.
And support whoever the nominee is.
Well, and
so the challenge is going to be there. This is speculation, okay? Let me finish here. I don't interrupt y'all. Don't interrupt me, okay? That's all I ask. Be fair, okay?
Yes,
and that the challenge is going to be this, and it's a speculation, and I'm not putting words into President Trump's mouth, but I'm saying what a lot of people maybe won't say out loud. There is the thought that President Trump will say no to the debates because he does not want to make that commitment to supporting the Republican nominee for president, because he wants to reserve the right to run as a third party candidate should he not win the Republican primaries. Have you heard this before? Am I the only one who's heard this before?
I have not. It's not beyond the pale for someone to reserve that right to run third party. I can't think of someone who's done it in the past for either party.
But does that sound crazy?
No.
Absolutely insane?
No. Especially if the former president believes the process has been quote-unquote rigged.
Which process?
Well, I'm talking about the Republican nomination.
Oh, the Republican nomination process. Do you think that's going to be rigged?
Well, I'm just saying, if that is what he thinks, he may withhold his commitment.
Well, that's ridiculous.
By the way, your description, and then we'll let Steve jump in here.
No, we won't. I'm going to talk.
Of the political
apparatus.
I'm going to talk
8 more minutes here.
That's why, incumbents don't usually have to debate. Because the political apparatus of a party, for example, Joe Biden, on the Democratic Party, they say, no, we're in charge of the nominating process. And the Democratic Party apparatus is behind Joe Biden, so we're not going to have debates with...
I think that's legit.
Yeah, with Marianne Williamson and Robert Kennedy.
That's their right as a party.
Anyway, Steve, you had something?
Well, this is just for history's sake. In 2016... Donald Trump said he would support the eventual nominee, but then when he started gaining some speed, he backed off of that and retracted.
Why would you back off of that if you're gaining speed?
I'm just reading the headlines.
If you remember the debate, that first debate that they had, I don't think Trump raised his hand. You remember that remember the question was to all the other, this was like there's 10 of them like up there on the stage, and they said, are you going to support the nominee, whoever it may be? And he wouldn't raise his hand.
This is from NPR, I believe it's accurate. It's September of 2016, or 15. All the candidates, including Trump, signed a pledge to support the eventual nominee of the party. But with three candidates, they went down to three candidates remaining. I don't remember who they were, but then Trump said, no, I don't support it anymore. This is at his debate, the town hall in Wisconsin with Anderson Cooper, asked him the same question. He said, no, I don't anymore. We'll have to see who it is. And I don't think he ever agreed to support the eventual winner of the 2016 presidential race when nobody thought he had a chance. He never said that he would support whoever, fall in line behind whoever won. So I don't know if he's got a history of not doing that.
Well, don't forget, President Trump was not a professional politician when he entered the race.
Nor was he a Republican.
Well, he had been a Democrat before.
He had been a lifelong liberal Democrat in New York.
Right. But what I'm saying is, in terms of what you're describing, Steve, He was not a professional politician. So as an outsider and as a businessman, I'm guessing that what he was thinking is, I'm not a part of this political establishment. I don't know what they're going to do. So I'm withheld. In other words, he wasn't a part of the political apparatus, and he was reserving.
But he knew he had to run as a Republican.
Right.
He couldn't run as an independent. You see what right. I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think, I'm just saying, I think it's only fair for a political party, like a Democrat or a Republican.
Absolutely.
To say, if we're going to invest all this time, energy, effort, and money into a debate process, a primary process, we're going to put all these primaries on, that you commit up front, all candidates must be required to commit up front that they will support whoever the winner of the primary is.
Yeah, because what I was going to say was, it's different now for President Trump than it was in 2015, 2016. Now he is a part of the Republican Party apparatus. He believes he's the flag bearer of the Republican Party. Now you've got to commit. I think you've got to commit to supporting whoever the Republican Party
votes. Yes, but he hates Ron DeSantis so much. Maybe hate's a strong word. I apologize. I'll take that back. He detests.
That's better.
So strongly. Okay.
Donald Trump detests Ron DeSantis so much by his obvious things that he's said about him in the last 2 months. I don't think he'll sign up for supporting Governor DeSantis should he win the primary. I think he's struggling with that one.
Well, then he's got to be very careful then, because you can't, on the one hand, say, I want to make sure the process is not one-sided or rigged, if you're not willing to take part in the process.
Yeah, he's boxed in.
Yeah, he's got to make up
his
mind.
President Trump right now is in a sense, boxed in because of the reasons we just mentioned. The party is saying, look, you want to run for president, you got to participate in the debates, and you got to support the eventual candidate. And I think Trump is saying, I'm so far ahead in the polls, I don't know if I even need to debate or agree to support the candidate. Because if DeSantis wins, I want to run third party. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I commit to supporting the nominee now, it kind of boxes me in on whether I want to run third party or not. You see my point?
I do.
I'm just.
He can always do what he did in 2016, which is say he will support it and then back off of it. I mean, that's what it's what he did.
Well, he'll be dead in the water if DeSantis were to beat him, you know, straight up. Then his political career is over. Yeah. Trump says.
Well, but his impact in the
unless he runs third party,
his impact in the general election wouldn't be dead. If he ran third party, he would split Republican votes and a Democrat would win.
Well, he would be doing that despite DeSantis and the Republicans if he did that. It's going to be fun to watch over the next year. Politics is a blood sport.
Yeah.
As I've said I said 3 or 4 months ago, I prophesied. I gave a word.
Yes.
I gave a word to the wise that it's going to be a very contentious Thanksgiving dinner for Republicans.
Right.
Because I think it's going to come down to DeSantis and Trump, and those people aren't going to be talking to each other at Thanksgiving. Or they're going to be shouting and throwing rolls.
Well, looking at our Facebook page, they're already throwing rolls at each other.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a family feud right now, and I understand. There's a lot of passion in politics, and everybody thinks their way is the right way.
And it feels like it's really important, this election.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So have a great day, everybody. See you back here tomorrow.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture.